Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Our subject today is Mary's song of praise. And no doubt in the months between the angel's announcement of Christ's birth and that of his arrival, it was no doubt a time of great apprehension and spiritual testing for both Mary and Joseph. And so it is still a joy for us to see how they both conducted themselves, and Mary in particular, during that time. I mean, prior to the text that we're about to come to this morning, Mary had made a journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was also expecting a very special baby, John the Baptist. And when Mary arrived at Zacharias and Elizabeth's house, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy, reminding us that an unborn child is fully human, made in the image of God, and capable of feeling emotion. Well, sensing her child's joy, Elizabeth responded by telling Mary how blessed she herself was because she had believed all that the Lord God had said, and that he would surely do all that he said he would to and through Mary. And in response, Mary was moved to praise God, and in so doing, she revealed her heart of love for the Lord and his word. Mary teaches us that we can praise the Lord whatever our circumstances, and that God's grace is sufficient even in the most difficult of times. Mary's song of praise has come to be known as the Magnificat, and which comes from the Latin translation of the first few words of our text, verse 46, which Mary speaks in the form of a hymn of praise unto the Lord. And it serves to remind us today that the birth of the Lord Jesus is about much more than gifts, about trees, about myths about Father Christmas, or pop songs about Rudolph or Frosty and all the other stuff. Now, there is no biblical mandate or guidance that we should celebrate Christmas, but it is nonetheless an opportunity to focus on our relationship with the Lord, to celebrate his glory, and to share the good news with others of why it was needful that the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world. So this morning, let's spend a little time looking at Mary's great anthem of praise, and let it motivate us in our own celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us, who by his grace came from heaven to earth to save people from their sin. So our text this morning is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Well, this is our text, and this is the inspired and the infallible word of God. After these things, John's birth was imminent, and Mary left and went back to her own house in Nazareth. I'm going to look at these verses under three headings, each of them prefixed by the words God's grace is. God's grace is, first of all, personal. And God's grace is, secondly, perpetual. And thirdly, God's grace is perfected. So firstly, God's grace is personal, verses 46 to 49. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. In these first few verses, Mary expresses her personal praise to the Lord for his blessings in her own life. And in this way, she sets an example for us to follow. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. Mary's great song of praise, as I've said, is known as the Magnificat, which comes from the Latin translation of these words at the beginning that Mary speaks. But the words of Mary's song of praise, they resemble that we read earlier, Hannah's song of thanksgiving for the gift of her own son, Samuel. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. And furthermore, Mary's song, these few verses, Luke 46 to 56, allude to so many other scriptures. And we don't have time this morning to explore all these things. But here are just a few to think about. 19 references in verse 46. There's references to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 10, and Psalm 34, verse 2. In verse 48, there's references to 1 Samuel 1, verse 11, and Psalm 138, verse 6. In verse 49, Psalm 71, verse 19, and Psalm 126, verse 2 and 3, and Psalm 11, verse 9. In verse 4, there are references to Genesis 17, 7 to 9. In Exodus, allusion to Exodus 20, verse 6, and Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18. In verse 51, Psalm 98.1 is alluded to, as is Isaiah 40, verse 10. In verse 52, we can see connections with 1 Samuel 2, verses 7 to 8, Job 5:11, Psalm 107, verses 40 to 41, and Psalm 113, verses 5 to 9. In verse 53, we have an allusion to Psalm 34, verse 10. In verse 54, Psalm 98, verse 3. And in verse 55, Genesis 17, verse 19. And I'm sure if I'd have had a bit more time, I could have found more. But those are clear references, 19 of them there, in just those few verses. And that these were Mary's own words, it was Mary that said these words, they were her own words, tells us that she was someone who studied and knew the Word of God, such that the Scriptures were on her mind. They were in her heart, and they came out through her prayer and song. And in verses 46 to 47, Mary reveals that she's someone who'd been saved from sin. She'd been redeemed. Mary first gives praise to God for her salvation, saying, My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. You know, like the rest of us, Mary was born in sin and stood in need of a Saviour. And by her words, she declares her dependence upon God for salvation. And now she is simply praising the Lord for the salvation that he has brought to her, that she now possesses. You know, sometimes our lives can feel that they're falling apart. But if we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, then we have a reason to praise the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, did he not, to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And just to know that you're saved, it is a good reason to praise the Lord. Think about it. If you've been saved, you will not go to hell. You'll be granted access into heaven. And you'll know the presence of the Lord in the here and now, and then throughout all eternity. If you're saved, you are a child of God and a fellow heir with the King of Kings to the kingdom of heaven. Is that not on its own an abundant reason to rejoice as did Mary? Well then, let's us do the same. Let's us offer sacrifices of praise due to the Lord today. The writer to the Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says, by him, therefore, that's Jesus, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Mary says also that she has been regarded by God. Now that Greek word means to turn one's eyes towards, to look upon, to turn one's eyes towards. And Mary says, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. In effect, Mary's saying that she's a nobody, but yet she's someone who has experienced the grace of God firsthand. Mary knew that she did not deserve the wonderful favour that had been extended to her by the Lord, and yet he'd done it anyway. And here's another reason for her rejoicing. We who are saved, we've been chosen, called, and saved by pure grace. There's nothing in us before God saved us, and there's nothing in us now, really, that commends us to the Lord. However, in his grace, he loved us, reached down to us, and saved us when we responded to his gift of salvation in faith. To be regarded by the Lord in this way is a truly wonderful thing. Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And even the great apostle Paul, you know, he was a product himself of pure grace, writing to the Corinthian church, chapter 15, verse 10. About himself, he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I laboured more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You know, even though there's nothing in us that can commend us to the Lord, he saves us and he comes to live in us. And by his grace, he transforms us into the children of God. You know, is that not reason enough in itself to praise him? And beyond being regarded, Mary also says that she had been rewarded there in verse 48 and 49. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Mary realized that God was doing something wonderful in and through her life. She was to be the means by which the eternal Son of God would enter into human history. And while no doubt many in her day mocked her and talked about her and accused her of various things, Mary knew that in the days to come, others would look back on her obedience and know that she had been blessed by the Lord, and her reward was in fact that God would be glorified and that others would be blessed by what the Lord had called her to do. And Mary celebrated God's goodness, faithfulness and power. She said, for he that is mighty hath done great things to me. Mary's song shows the futility of trusting in self, of trusting in political powers, or of trusting in wealth and riches. Mary's trust was in God, and it was more than amply rewarded. The 17th century English theologian John Trapp said, no small things can fall from so great a hand. He gives like himself. Every saved person can acknowledge that the Lord has done great things in and to them. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, then just stop for a moment and think of the change that he's made in your life since the day he came into your life. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Just think of the blessings that you've enjoyed. We sing that hymn, don't we? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Think of the benefits as well that are yours as a child of God. Think of the glory that awaits you in the future. If we be in Christ, we have been blessed abundantly. And like Mary, we have good reason to praise the name of the Lord. But Mary's song of praise goes beyond mere personal experience. We read in verses 50 to 53. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. And what we have here is God's grace is perpetual. Mary is singing here of the permanence of God's grace. She knew that she wasn't the only one, but nor was her Old Testament generation of Jews the only ones for whom God's grace was reserved, but rather that God's grace would be revealed to every generation from the first advent of the Christ until his return to earth at his second coming. She says his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And the grace of God is still in operation today. There's grace to save sinners. There's grace to reclaim backsliders. There's grace for every spiritual battle and every spiritual trial. In fact, grace sufficient for every situation in life we can name or think about. And again, Paul writing to the Corinthians, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 said, and he's talking as the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And again, you know, is this not of itself alone another wonderful encouragement that should move us to praise and worship of God? But Mary sang also of the perfection of God's grace. In verses 51 and 52, he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Mary praised God because he did not come to reach out to the high and mighty, but rather he chose to reveal himself to those who were poor and humble. In working the great miracle of the birth of Christ, God demonstrates his power and puts to shame all those who think they've got everything concerning God figured out. Paul, again writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. The world exalts men, but ultimately, without God, even the great men of the world will be humbled, while those who are willing to humble themselves before the Lord can expect great things from the Lord. Salvation comes to the humble. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's those who recognize and confess their sin that can expect to be saved. Those who are willing to admit their need can expect to have it met. Before we can expect anything from the Lord, we must be willing to humble ourselves in his sight. And when we do, we can experience his grace in a very real way. You know, there are many who will die lost and spend eternity in hell simply because they were unwilling or too proud to come to the Lord, to admit their sin and receive his gift of salvation. And Mary also sang of the promise of God's grace. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away, verse 53. And Mary reminds us that those who recognise their need can come to the Lord and be filled, while those who think they have need of nothing, well, that's exactly what they should expect from God. We think of that the parable of the Pharisee and the righteous Pharisee and the publican, Luke 18:9-14. Jesus said, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There are many today who see themselves through rose-tinted glasses. They think and they say things like, you know, I'm a good person, really. I don't steal. I don't hurt anyone. I mind my own business. I'm not a hypocrite like many of those people who go to church and on and on and on. But what they're missing is this, that salvation does not rely on how well we think we're doing in comparison with others. It all rests on our personal relationship with God Almighty. True enough, though, many who go to church are hypocrites, just like those in the church of Laodicea that we read of in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. They thought they had everything they needed, but they failed to see that they were the neediest people of all. With all they possessed, they still lacked everything, because to have the entire world and not to have the Lord Jesus is to be eternally doomed. Yet to have him and have nothing more is to have the greatest treasure of all, the greatest treasure that heaven can afford. If you have every material comfort to hand, but you do not have the Lord Jesus to heart, you are in truth destitute and hell-bound. The Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 7, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mary saw in the perpetual grace of God a reason for rejoicing, and things haven't changed. He is still the God of all grace. The Apostle Peter in his first epistle, 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Mary praised the Lord not only for his blessings in her own life, and for his blessings that were available to successive generations, but she also praised him for remembering to do what he promised to do. She praised him because he is the God that keeps his word. And this brings me to my third heading. God's grace is perfected. Verses 54 and 55. Mary said, he hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary praised God for remembering and fulfilling all that he had promised. You know, for centuries the Jews lived on the promise of the Lord that he would one day send a deliverer, the Messiah, to redeem the people and to restore them to that place of righteousness and favour with God. And the coming of the Lord Jesus is the fulfilment of that promise. And Mary exalts the name of the Lord for God keeping that promise. The Lord still keeps his promises, and he'll never allow anything that he has promised to go undone. Paul, writing to the Romans, chapter 4, verse 21, tells us, and being fully persuaded, speaking of Abraham here, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So let's not forget that, you know, those who are, we now, if we are in Christ, are the spiritual seed of Abraham. The promise that God made to Abraham is still being fulfilled in God's people today. See, the Lord can be trusted in every situation in life, whether it be for eternal salvation or whether it be for daily provision. Paul, writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 12 says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And writing to the Philippians, chapter 4 verse 19, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will do what he has said he will do. And therefore we must learn to trust him. We must learn to praise him for his goodness, even if the answer to our prayers have not yet been granted. If there's one thing we can be sure of, it is that we can depend on the Lord. He will not let one of his promises fall to the ground. Peter, again, in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Mary also praised God for remembering his people. She says, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Verse 55. Mary rejoiced in the fact that the Lord never forgets any of those who have put their faith in him. And we have the same reason that for praise this morning. You know, there are some who feel that they've been deserted by the Lord. But let's remind ourselves that we have his wonderful promises, that he'll never do that. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the writer to the Hebrews reminds us, chapter 13, verses 5, 6 and 8, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And if you belong to Christ, you need never fear that he will ever forget about you, because you are forever impressed upon his heart. In fact, every time God the Father looks upon his Son, the Lord Jesus, he sees you if you belong to Christ. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 to 8, said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The Lord will see us through this world, and he'll see us into the next. He didn't save us to lose us. He didn't save us to forget about us. He saved us to take us home and to be with him. And what a blessed stand in his hours then. You know, should this not stir us to praise and worship in the God of our salvation? Well, we bring this to a very quick conclusion. You know, we're indebted to Mary, but not to the extent that some would have it. We're not to worship her. We're not to pray to her. That's blasphemy, and we mustn't do that. Yes, Mary was blessed and honoured. Blessed art thou among women. Yes, Mary was blessed and honoured by God to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But she was a sinner and in need of salvation, just like everyone else. But we do owe Mary a debt of gratitude, for in this Magnificat, in this song of praise, for reminding us that our God is worthy of our love, our praise, and our worship. And in this she sets an example for us all to follow. Mary praised the Lord for his grace and blessings in her personal life by redeeming, by regarding, by rewarding her. Mary praised the Lord for his perpetual grace, singing of its permanence, its perfection, and its promise. And Mary praised the Lord for his perfect grace, singing of how he remembered and fulfilled his every promise to his people. Well, like Mary, how many wonderful reasons do we have today and every day to praise the Lord. Amen. We turn in our hymn book to sing our closing hymn, hymn 34. This is a hymn based on the verses we've just looked at this morning. Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God my Saviour shall my heart rejoice. Well, may Christ so dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.